Here we are in this season of a year. We sang that song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And one of the questions that we ponder during this time of the year is, why did God become like us? Have you ever wondered about that? He didn't have to die. He didn't have to come. Why did God become like us? I think it's a simple answer. Sometimes my wife tells me I analyze too much. But I like to think about the Lord. When I think about the Lord and what he's done for us, I said, God, how did you love Earl Williams like this? Why? Why did God become a man like us? I think it's simple. So that we could become like God. You see, you cannot earn salvation. It's a gift of God. And Father, I pray to you right now and ask you to open the eyes of our hearts to see how much you love us. Even as it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world. I mean, God loves us to the nth degree in his soul, if I could use that language. In his heart of hearts, he loves you. He loves me. He loves us. We sometimes look at ourselves and say, how could God love us? Because it's not about us. It's about him. It's about God's soul, with all of his soul. Love the world. Love you. Whatever your name is, you fill in the blank. So much that he gave his most precious possessions. Lord, help us. And that is Jesus, his son. You know, I have sons. I have children. And they're very precious to me. Thank God we have several. But God had one son. Priceless. He so loved the world. That's us. That he gave his only son. Not like he had some waiting in the background. But, yes, he did. He had you waiting in the background. He had me in the background. And there was coming a time when he was going to bring all of his children into his bosom and to hug them and to love them and to give them eternal life. We are the children of God. That's why it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, we are the world, that he gave his one and only son. He valued Jesus Christ, his one and only, far above his own son. He loved you far above him. God so loved you and me. He so loved the world that he gave his best. Sometimes we'll give our least, our second-handed things. Oh, you want these old shoes? Yeah, I give them to you. But the best we don't want to give, do we? God gave the best of the best. He gave his only begotten son, that whoever earns it. Now, if you do something for me, son, then I'm going to bless you. No, it is not earned. Salvation can never be earned, for we are sinners. It's not in what we do or have done or have not done, but it's what he's done in his son. He so loved us. Sometimes we can get into, you know, feeling down about ourselves. We're not good looking. We're not a great athlete. We don't have money, this or that, or the other thing. And we look down on ourselves. You know, God looks at you and he smiles and he rejoices. For God so loved the world, so loved you, so loved me, that he exchanged his only son for you. This is the great exchange. This is the greatest act and gift of love in human history, in any history, that God lays aside his son and picks you and me up, or his daughter, or his child, however you want to phrase it. And there's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. For God so loved us, so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, this is the gospel, folks. I can't preach anything more important than you believing this. And we pray that God, Father, I pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts, that we would believe this in our hearts, and that this would overwhelm any negative thoughts in our hearts and our minds about ourselves or about our anything, and that we would rejoice in who we are in Christ. For God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, not whoever works the hardest, not the one who gives the most, not the one who has the big degrees. And it's good to have degrees and have accomplishments, but it's nothing compared to God's love for him and for you and for me. And whoever believes in him shall not perish. That means, you know what that means? That we will live forever and ever and ever. And things will get better and better and better. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a gift. This is not payday or payback. This is the love of God. And I don't think we really understand. Open the hearts, open our minds, Lord, to see how much you love us, how much you embrace us, how valuable we are to you. This wonderful gift of your grace, of your salvation. We're blessed beyond blessed. Thank you, Lord. But help us to see it. Help us, Lord, to experience it. For you loved us, Lord. You loved us from the beginning, before you ever knew us. Not that you never knew anything, but this is a gift that you would take us. And we ask that you would bless us, Lord, that we'd be able to experience you. And then to go out from the love you've given us to love others, to give them the love that you've given us. For you so loved us that you gave us your one and only Son. Shall we not do the same for others? And we ask this, Lord, that you'd open our hearts to be a people who give, who sacrifice, that we love. And we bring others into the kingdom of God based upon the grace you've given us. Let us give grace to others. Amen. Amen. The Savior of the world is born. I want us to open the Word of God as we prepare to partake of our Lord and Savior, his sacrifice for us through the bread and the wine. In Matthew 26, I'm going to read from 26 through 29. And while they were still eating, Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." God gives himself to us. And we're going to partake of the bread and the wine in a moment. But while they were still eating, I want to repeat that. Jesus took bread, which is symbolic of his body, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat it," saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." In a sense that we can't totally comprehend or fathom, we're going to be eating of the very body of Jesus Christ. Verse 27, then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood." This is the gift of himself to us. This is my blood of the covenant. He's made a covenant. He's made a covenant that will last forever and ever, that will never, never change. That he gives his life, his body, and his blood to us. This is my blood. The life is in the blood. That's where the center of life is. It's in the blood. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." All of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven by the body and blood of Jesus, at that cost of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you. We ask you to bless this bread as we eat of it, and that you bless this wine as we drink of it, and that we receive the cleansing. We receive the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to listen to while we partake of bread and wine, God with all of us.
She'd never been a mother before, unmarried and laboring on a dirt floor of a barn in a town in the middle of this broken world. She never imagined in all of her years the God of creation could end up right here as a delicate baby held in the arms of a girl. With us, close enough for our eyes to see and our hands to touch, hope for all, great and small. God with us, God with all. Outside of town, angels filled up the heavens, announcing a king to the lowliest peasants. Don't be afraid, they said, Jesus the Savior is here. If you were there with them, wouldn't you run to catch just a glimpse of the wonderful one, the lamb and the shepherd, the one who would dry all our tears? With us.